Going to begin with Carolina basketball. They wrapped up their season with Thursday's Sweet 16 loss to Alabama. Now it's a season of uncertainty with big decisions coming from multiple players, including R.J. Davis. But before we look at that, we're going to look back on the season that was. Here's 97.9 The Hills, Michael Coe.
There have been better teams in the history of Carolina basketball. Several have advanced further in the tournament than this season's Tar Heels did. But what made this group special to head coach Hubert Davis was how all the different parts, which came from different schools and ranged in age from 18 to 25 years old, all embodied his ideals of connectedness on and off the basketball court.
You've got guys that come in here as transfers and they dove right into what this place is all about. So much so that you don't even think that they've been here for 1 year. You feel like they've been here for 4 years. So the commitment of this team from the start to have wanted to be a team is the thing that has blown me away and has restored my faith that you can't have a bunch of guys in a locker room that genuinely enjoy being around each other and celebrate the success of others and really want to be a team.
Cormac Ryan, who transferred to Carolina from Notre Dame, had shown one final proof of Davis's faith just minutes earlier. R.J. Davis had been asked about his 0-of-9 shooting performance from three. Davis was struggling to get words out when Ryan stepped in to deliver this message.
There's just not a true fiber in your being that could actually believe that anything that happened tonight could be the result of something R.J. did wrong, because R.J.'s done something incredible for this team. He's done stuff that's never been done before. He's one of the greatest Tar Heels of all time, and for anybody to come and say anything negative about RJ is unacceptable, and I'm going to just say that.
Davis is a graduating senior at Carolina, but is part of the last generation of players who can use the fifth COVID year and return to Chapel Hill next season. He has not yet announced a decision. Davis will always be connected to Armando Bacot, who has now fully exhausted his collegiate eligibility. Bacot, who came to the program when Roy Williams was head coach and nobody knew what COVID was, has experienced perhaps the greatest difference between highs and lows during his time at Carolina. From the low of the 2020 season, to the high of the epic Final Four victory over Duke, to the low of the disappointing 2023 campaign, and back to the high of a number one seed this season, Bacot has seen it all. He said this season in particular will always be special to him.
I mean, I wouldn't change anything that happened all year. It was a special year just with teammates, coaches. I mean, it was just, for me personally, a restored sense of funness. Just my love for the game just grows so much. My faith this year has grown a lot, and I'm going to miss everything about just being with this team, the coaches. I've been knowing Coach Davis since I was 14 years old, 15 years old, and knowing this is the last time I'll play for him, it definitely hurts.
R.J. Davis's jersey will soon be raised into the Dean Smith Center rafters by virtue of his ACC Player of the Year win. Bacot doesn't currently fill any requirements to have his jersey honored, but those within the program have indicated something may be tweaked to accommodate Carolina's all-time leading rebounder. It would be more than fitting to see number 4 and number 5 beside each other for as long as the Dean Dome stands. Hubert Davis lauded that pair's commitment to his team.
You know, in a time in college basketball where there's so many moving parts and so many changes, you had two players that you couldn't ask for them to be as successful as they have been for 4 and 5 years respectfully at the same institution. Their commitment to Carolina, their commitment to this program and the community, those are the things that my hope is talked about more, about guys staying committed to the process.
And now begins a new process for the Tar Heels, one which Hubert Davis unequivocally aced last season, filling holes on his roster which seem unfillable. There will never be another Armando Bacot, whose charisma off the court sometimes outshone his tremendous play on it. Should R.J. Davis head elsewhere, UNC will have a hard time replacing his offensive capabilities. But that's all a conversation for another day. For now, simply appreciating the good times is enough. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Visit our website, chapelboro.com, for more on Carolina basketball, including a photo gallery from this past season. In Chapel Hill, good news for a downtown business that's been closed for the last 8 months. Hair salon Moshi Moshi is reopening this week after renovating and repairing smoke and water damage caused by the Med Deli fire last July. They've been directing clients to their Durham location ever since, but owners sent a message to clients over the weekend saying they'll be back open on West Franklin Street this Wednesday, joined by a new business, a home accessories boutique called the Glass Box. That leaves Med Deli as the only business still closed from that fire in July, though Med Deli is also still operating from a second location down the road while their own repairs continue. In state news, we're now 2 weeks into legalized online sports betting in North Carolina. Some initial numbers are coming in. North Carolinians bet nearly $24 million in just the first day of legalized gambling on March 11th and $198 million in the first week. After paying out winnings, the sports betting companies earned about $43 million in that first week. 18% of that will go to the state in taxes. Speaking of taxes, Chapel Hill town officials are considering a 1.5-cent tax increase this year to cover staff salaries and other costs, and possibly an additional 0.5-cent on top of that for transit projects. Mayor Jess Anderson discussed that last week in an open letter to residents, and she shared more of her thoughts last Thursday here on 97.9 The Hill.
For me, I really prefer this strategy for a couple reasons. One is that we can see if the increase is needed at the time. I mean, wouldn't we all love it if we didn't have to do it after all? If we had already done it, then, you know, you don't really go backwards on that. So that's one reason. The other reason is particularly for our commercial properties that have high valuations. A tax increase is not just $100 to $200. It's, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. So we like to be able to spread that out as much as possible for folks so they're not getting hit in one fiscal year in a really extreme way. So we also have county and special school district taxes, many of us. So people's total tax bills are not low in this area, but we also have municipal needs and we have to keep the town running. So we're very careful, we're very thoughtful, but we also feel like we want to tell folks early when we think that's coming. And that is a reality of where we are, of where the economy is, and where our town needs are.
Chapel Hill Mayor Jess Anderson speaking there. That strategy she is referring to is phasing in a larger tax increase over many years instead of doing it all at once. Finally, President Joe Biden made an early campaign stop in Raleigh last week with a focus on his administration's health care achievements. But as the campaign heats up, what issue is most likely to have the biggest impact? Public policy polling director Tom Jensen ran a national survey on that recently, and he says the answer may not be what you think.
We were looking at sort of how, if you contrast Joe Biden and Donald Trump's positions on some issues, what impacts that might have on the race. And the thing that we saw that sort of was the biggest mover is if you contrast that when it comes to dealing with inflation, that Joe Biden wants to increase taxes on corporations and individuals who make more than $400,000 a year, and Donald Trump wants to reduce inflation by cutting Medicare and Social Security. We then asked people, okay, now that you know that, how would you vote? It goes from a 1-point Biden lead to a 12-point Biden lead. Obviously, you never have elections that are fought so narrowly on one issue like that. But it does show that that is something that should probably be a point of emphasis for Biden and his team moving forward, is really sort of emphasizing that populist economic argument.
That's Tom Jensen speaking there. You can visit our website, chapelboro.com, to listen back to the full conversations with Tom Jensen and Jess Anderson. And visit Chapelboro for more local news as well, including a recap of last week's Orange County Board of Commissioners meeting and a rundown of this week in local government, including meetings later today for the Durham City Council and Durham County Commissioners. Also on Chapelboro this morning, our first ever quarterly business report with a look back at local business news from the first 3 months of 2024, including the closures of Linda's and Dame's Chicken and Waffles on Franklin Street, but also the announcement of a third Cat's Cradle location and a future new restaurant from the owner of Bluebird and Hawthorne and Wood. 6:21, time now for sports, brought to you this hour by CIMG Residential Mortgage. Basketball season may be over for UNC, but it was a busy weekend nonetheless, led by the Tar Heel baseball team, which went on the road and swept Wake Forest. Carolina won Game 1 6-5, then got three home runs from Parks Harbor to win Game 2 10-6. Then the Heels hit six home runs on Sunday, including two from Luke Stevenson, to complete the sweep 14-10. Football score there. UNC's now 25-4 on the year. They're back in action Thursday at Virginia. UNC softball also had a good weekend, taking 2 of 3 at Notre Dame, their first series win over the Fighting Irish since 2018. In tennis, the Carolina men swept Notre Dame and Louisville. The women beat Duke. Less of a good weekend for Tar Heel lacrosse, as the women fell to 4th-ranked Boston College 18-12, and the men lost to Army 13-12. Two hard Tar Heel women did get individual honors, though. Emily Knowles was named a second-team midseason All-American by IL Women, while Ashley Humphrey got honorable mention. And we did get some other big basketball news over the weekend. UNC women's basketball commit Lainey Grant is reclassified up a year to join the Tar Heels in 2024, next season instead of 2025. Grant is a 5-star point guard and the Virginia High School Player of the Year. ESPN's rated her as the 22nd best player in the 2025 class. She joins a fellow 5-star, center Blanca Thomas, in this year's class, and she'll also join a team that already has several point guards, including Renia Kelly, Kayla McPherson, and potentially Deja Kelly, who could come back. She spent much of last season at that position as well. Elsewhere in sports, the Carolina men's swimming and diving team took 33rd overall at the NCAA championships. UNC women's soccer stars Tessa Delarose and Savvy King are heading to Germany this week to play a pair of matches with the U.S. under-20 women's national team. In hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes got a win on Saturday, beating Montreal 3-0. And in baseball, the Durham Bulls opened their season at Norfolk, dropping their first two games before coming back with a 17-5 win yesterday to avoid the sweep. Their home opener is tomorrow night against Jacksonville.